This week on the Koshcast, we're joined by a special guest. At home, Toronto FC lifted the supporters' shield over their heads just in the nick of time as rain and wind swept the city. Speaking of City, in the Premier League, Pep's lads smashed 7 past Stoke, but the biggest disappointment was that the two managers shook hands, leaving Mark Hughes nothing to complain about. Elsewhere, at Anfield, Lukaku tried to do Liverpool fans a favour by injuring Dejan Lovren, Hodgson has his Zaha moment, and Troy Deeney describes Arsenal as having no cojones, although for Cleverley's goal, a few of them did look like training cojones, so the jury is out on that. Finally, we'll smash through Europe like the Romans, who conversely this week lost to Napoli. Dybala looks increasingly like a Grandin toy order as he misses 2 pens in a row, and a bunch of stuff happens in Spain that doesn't involve police violence. Lovely. Hello and welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at under_thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex. Muhammad is here.
Hi everyone.
Bernie is here.
Hello.
In a cardigan.
What's wrong with the cardigan?
Absolutely nothing. And joining us today is the editor of social media BuzzFeed Canada, El Amin Abdelmahmoud. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You are a Liverpool fan who has chosen to work in social media.
Boom.
Is that a problem?
That, you know what, so far it has not been too bad,
okay.
But I anticipate that some weeks are hard. Weeks are...
Like this one.
Hold on, wait a minute. I thought this was a Kevin De Bruyne podcast. What am I doing here?
There will be definitely a segment. Good. He deserves a segment.
Good.
But we will start at home. Toronto FC, who have been killing it all season, won the Supporters' Shield. They won it last week, actually, but they got to lift it this week.
Yes, and the players got to show some form of emotion towards it. Yeah. That was lacking for like weeks. People were like, where is the emotion? Everyone's so sad and, you know, it just feels like you got relegated.
Well, I mean, apparently Michael Bradley doesn't let anyone be happy.
Well, there was like a whole hour worth of conversation at Footy Talks 2 weeks ago about them not showing any love for the thing. So, you know, this was great. I still think they should have done the parade.
Right.
But and it's been a parade all season, so...
To Alex's point, Bradley does not like anyone to be happy, especially, you know, U.S. men's national team fans. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to be happy anymore after that failure of qualification.
He's never allowed to be happy. Like, if Toronto win the MLS Cup, he cannot be part of the group.
Unless he changes citizenship to Canadian.
Yes,
then
maybe.
Then he can be happy.
Maybe.
I think they're all angling for that. I think like half the Blue Jays team, like after the Las Vegas shooting, half of the Blue Jays team was just like, I need my Canadian citizenship and I need it now.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Healthcare.
Anyway, amongst other things. won the Supporters' Shield. Had they done a parade, it would have literally been rained on.
Yeah.
Because a storm took place over BMO Field.
Don't
you
think?
Come on.
Yeah.
This is Alanis
Morissette. I love Alanis Morissette.
It's his favorite song. Yeah, that's why I had to do it. I'm sorry.
You didn't have to do it. That part is not true. You did it.
So they tied the points record.
Yes.
I think that's a disappointment. I was thinking about this actually on
There's one more game, you know.
Okay, well, I take that back. But I was thinking about it on the drive-in. Why would be disappointment if they don't, you know, beat the record? Is I thought about it, again, the comparison is obviously slightly flawed, but look at when Barca dominated 09 to, let's say, 12, mm-hmm. right? They were the best team at the time, they dominated and they made, you know, they just took it all. They won a few trebles, they won everything, they broke all records, etc.
Mm-hmm.
This is TFC's time to do all of that, starting from last season. So I just feel like, again, it's going to be cycles. This is not going to continue forever, you know, dominating the MLS the way they are right now. So I just feel in this 3-year period, last year, this year, and hopefully next year,
mm-hmm.
they should really just be ticking everything off the list. Last year, they should have won the MLS Cup.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they should have won the Supporters' Shield, which they did. They should win the MLS Cup, and they should beat all records possible. Because again, it's not going to happen. They're not going to have this chance soon.
In another 2 years, it's done. Because the way MLS and also North American sports are structured in general, you don't typically get teams that dominate for 5 years or a decade in some instances that we see in Europe. It's just not built that way with the trading system and allocation draft and all that jazz. And pretty much, Giovinco seems to me that he's going to leave if they win this thing. I mean,
really?
Remember with the whole thing with China? That was very, very serious links in the summer. Exactly.
Yeah.
But he decided to stay. And he penned that whole Players Tribune thing about Toronto. That seems very, you know, presumptive to me.
Yeah.
How big is the Italian population in... I mean, to say China is a bit too general, but the question stands.
In Beijing specifically.
Yeah, because like in Toronto it's huge.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's not going to replicate that anywhere else, and he doesn't want to go back to Italy because they don't like him.
But I have a problem. He's still never been to Niagara Falls, which doesn't show commitment.
Mate, it's rubbish.
Right. It is rubbish. He doesn't have
is that the bar?
That is the bar, and
that shows commitment.
All right. He's below every bar. I mean, if Trump gets his way and we don't trade, you know, North America doesn't trade with China anymore, that might stop the move.
True.
Never know.
True.
So yeah. we're relying on Donald Trump to keep Sebastian.
He's got to do something. He's got to do something, right? So this could be it.
Do you reckon Michael Bradley went Niagara Falls his first day?
He can jump over if he wants.
That's true.
Yeah.
Special pass. He's got Nexus.
Javinko hit the post twice from penalty.
Yeah. He also skied a shot from 6 yards. It wasn't his day.
Are we concerned about his form going into the playoffs? Should we be?
I'm slightly concerned about TFC's form as a whole. I just feel like, yeah, people are like, well, it's not a big deal. They won it, and, you know, the last few games, they rested a lot of players. I just feel like you need to go in strong, and they aren't doing that right now. And again, a lot of players have been away on international duty, mm-hmm. which did kind of disrupt the rhythm slightly, and, you know, fatigue and all that, except, you know, Bradley didn't run at all. But I just feel like you should really go in strong to continue strong. It's not like you can't just switch off for 4 weeks and then decide, oh, I'm going to pick it up again for playoffs. Yeah. It doesn't work like that. And which we're going to. We got tickets.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. So we shall see in person. But you wanted to touch on the US not making it.
Yeah, because a lot of people were angry.
Yeah.
And rightly so. And, you know, with the whole sacking of the German and bringing in the American and et cetera, et cetera. And you get your it feels a bit like England. You got your passion and all that. And where did that get you?
Was this the Allardyce equivalent?
I think so. I think it was passion over quality. It's one of those English things. And I just feel, I don't know, at the end of the day, you should be Trinidad and Tobago. You should. It's, you know,
yes.
It's a given.
What I quite liked is that they went out of the World Cup the same day that they pulled out of UNESCO. That was quite impressive.
Just desserts.
Yeah.
But I don't buy the whole Sam Allardyce thing. I mean, Bruce Arena has been one of the most successful coaches, not like Allardyce, in terms of staving off relegation, actually winning things with an LA Galaxy.
It
and
helps
so on
that
and
there
so
is
forth.
No relegation.
Yeah. Pretty much the best version of the U.S. national team that we've actually seen was under Bruce Arena. I believe that was either 2002 or 2006 World Cup, one of the two.
True.
So he's actually been the best manager this country has ever had. So when things are not working out with Jurgen Klinsmann and you can bring this guy back, a bit like Hank is coming back to Bayern Munich, you know, it only works. The problem is the players don't have the character. The players don't have the cojones, as we'll talk about later on, to stand up to these things because they didn't win a single game away from home. A single
but literally,
game away
for
home.
4 years now, no one will care about the US men. No one cares about the Gold Cup. You know, mm-hmm. you've got 4 years until anyone cares again about football in the US. And that is, on the big picture thing, it is detrimental.
I don't think that's true.
Agreed.
I don't think that's true is because the most watched team in the US is not the US team. It's the Mexican team, right? Like there's and that has like such a massive population. That's
sure.
That's a huge fandom. So.
Sure. But, you know, for Americans...
Were you about to take U.S. international football seriously? Like, were you going to?
Male international football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you about to?
I mean, I just hope, I would have hoped that if when the U.S. are in the World Cup and they are, you know, on the big international stage and, you know, people like to go FIFA every 4 years and whatnot, it gets people excited.
The FIFA.
Yeah, the FIFA, that's what
yeah.
they say. The
yeah,
FIFA
yeah.
is coming.
Yeah, you know,
and
FIFA.
Now, they're not in it.
I think you have to think about who are we talking about getting excited because... The game has grown every single year in popularity.
And will.
Yes, sure, the U.S. men's national team has something to
it
do
would
with
help.
That.
It would help.
But it would help, but MLS has a lot more to do with that. And also, what's going to be more important for American football fans in the next couple of years is Christian Pulisic. This is pretty much, from all indications, the best player this country has produced in terms of a 19-year-old being
overall
this good.
Player, yeah.
And as long as he keeps doing well... Then people are still going to be interested.
No pressure, though, right? Carry entire team, entire country's football on your shoulders.
Exactly.
And they blame him a lot. They go in hard, the Americans, whenever he has a bad game. Yeah. It's just they just expect him to be the savior off the bat.
So on Christian Pulisic and soccer in the States, U.S. Representative or Congressman Brendan Boyle,
Republican or Democrat.
Well, that's a good question.
Because that will frame everything you're
going
to say
it says,
next.
It says rep, and it's really confusing because it means representative.
We'll give him a pass for now.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, he's congressman for Pennsylvania, and he tweeted, I was really disappointed the USA men's team didn't qualify for the World Cup. Then I remembered I couldn't care less about soccer. Boy, did that backfire.
Like, if you go and look at the mentions on that tweet, he gets murked in the, like...
The thing is, as an American or whoever, you should enjoy that your country's doing well at whatever.
Or just support.
It could be pinball. It doesn't matter. Like,
well,
Okay, not pinball.
But, you know, I mean, he's holding some position, isn't he? What is he in it?
He's a congressman.
Yeah. So, anyways.
And 2026 World Cup will probably go to the US. They'll all get excited again.
Yeah, they need to have a team at that point, because, I mean...
Pulisic will be howled.
Yeah, exactly.
23, it's fine. Yeah. All right, that's probably enough for North America. That's how the rest of the world feels all the time. Premier League?
Yeah. Right. Let's talk about City.
It's the Kevin De Bruyne show.
So, you enjoyed him?
Too much. I don't understand what this man is capable of. Sometimes, like, there was one of the Sterling goals. Where he was not aware at all where he was passing to.
Right.
He just made a beautiful pass forward, I think it was to Sané, and then Sané set that assist. But he can look forward and see, like, he doesn't do assists. He does that assist of an assist of an assist.
Yeah.
He can look forward three touches down and be like, yeah, I think if I do this now...
So he can do that.
This many things will happen, and then a goal will be at the end of it. And he's absolutely talented.
I know which one you're talking about. He was kind of looking down towards kind of the throw-in, towards the linesman, and then he just clips it into Sané without even looking
at it. Yeah, he had no idea where the ball was going.
And the other one where he curls it into Sané for Sané's goal from, like, ooh.
I think it's... Firstly, before I forget this, someone mentioned Sterling's name, all I thought was, Pedro wasn't talented either, but scored a lot of goals. He is now Man City's Pedro, but it's all good.
Okay.
Anyway, Kevin De Bruyne is the best player in this league right now. I don't think there's any contention about it. The guy can literally do everything. He sees everything. His passing is amazing. He can score goals, assist. The guy is complete. I freaking love him.
Basically, Neo, like, at the end of the first Matrix, beginning of second, where he's realized that he just can do whatever, and it'll work out.
And the beauty about KDB is that, and I think Mohamed may agree with this, is that a lot of people are talking about Eden Hazard. Eden Hazard being
not even close,
world-class player that could go and do this, and Mohamed absolutely hates the guy.
Yeah.
When you look at Kevin De Bruyne, that's what Eden Hazard should be producing for Chelsea week in, week out.
And we'll get to the Chelsea game.
That's the standard that happened.
And we'll get to the Chelsea game later. We won't talk about it. But when Hazard needed to step up for them, and he didn't. Anyways, KDB did step up for City this game. Aguero was injured. Jesus led the line so well.
Everyone scored.
Sterling is just, I don't know. He's reaping the benefits of being a wonderful player. Yeah, he doesn't look incredible, but he's getting the goals, he's getting the assists, and he's playing well. Sané, you remember, off-season, before the league started, you know, obviously a bit of tongue-in-cheek, but I did say, I think Sané could potentially be the best player in this league, whether it be this season, next season, but he has that potential to be the best player in the Premier League. I think he's that good.
Only if De Bruyne leaves at
some point. Sure, but, you know, I just think he's that good.
Is this the best team you've seen in the Premier League in the last decade?
I hate to say it, but absolutely.
On current form.
Yeah, decade? I mean, like, there's no competition. I can't think of
decade.
In terms of the football that they're playing.
We'll see when the season ends, but they're still not as good as Ronaldo's United team.
I'm talking about form right now with the football they're playing.
I don't know, because I could have said that last season when they start. I don't want to do that thing where people go, "Oh, watch, they're not going to fall. I think they're still going to win this league." But they were merciless at the beginning of last season. Similar fashion to this. I still think we look at, obviously it's unfair, there's a complete book of form there. That 2007-2008 United team was the best defensively and offensively. European record for defense as well. I don't think it's the
United. I think Liverpool's attacking trio recently.
Suarez,
Sterling, Sturridge, can you know, not as a team, but just that bit. Like, there's bits, but as a whole, like, I mean, you see Stones and Otamendi starting to play better right now. And you can see how it helps you when you play in a system, right? As opposed to, like, you're just asking individual players to do their thing. And that's really helping Stones and Otamendi. And even Ederson is looking comfortable. Like,
I mean, even.
Walker is looking very good.
What we need to be careful of with this City team is now that Mendy's injured, those two Stoke goals came from that side. Right. And a lot of teams have been attacking them from that particular side.
What are you saying
side.
About Delph? You don't rate Delph as a world-class player?
No. Yeah. So, I'm saying, that is a weakness. There are other teams in the last 10 years that have not had a weakness in any position. And I think better teams will exploit that, but they're still that good.
They won 7-2.
That's what I'm saying. They're still that good.
They won like 6.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
They won 6 the game before, 5.
They're still, by a country mile, the best team. But if we're talking about teams over a decade, I look at, do you have a weakness? These other teams did not.
Right. But I mean, is an injury a weakness? Like, that's unfair. Like, like they're only weak because somebody got injured. You can't have two World Class players.
Yeah, that means that I mean, this is a United team that used to have Heinze and Evra.
Right.
It's also a United team that used to
have... You see what I'm talking about? Like, you have to have backup for that. They have Danilo.
O'Shea also played.
Yeah, you also had 15 games. The Silva clown twins and like...
Anyways.
Yeah, I don't know, really, this is a little bit about results, right? Like, this is a little bit about the kind of results you're putting up. And even with the weaknesses you're talking about, I don't see them because no one feels them at all.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, 7-2, I mean...
Most enjoyed about this was that for about 5 minutes, Mark Hughes thought something might be happening. At 3-2, you know what
and
he was.
They were too shambolic. Like, I think they were both pretty much own goals, if you really think about it. Edison was about to save the first one that looped over him because of, I don't remember who did. Like,
I think it was Diouf, wasn't it?
But that's just that's just unreasonable.
He just doesn't want to give him the goals.
Even when Diouf scores, you can't let him have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, City have Napoli tomorrow, and that I think the two best teams in Europe right now.
I think we're taking a day off work, guys.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed that I'm not going to see that, but I might record it and watch it. It should be that good. But again, unfortunately for Pep, the thing with Pep is you will always go to the negatives with Pep. Like, people just want to attack Pep and like kind of take away from achievements. So Champions League will be a big thing for Pep. He can do whatever he wants. He can beat Stoke, and people are saying it's Stoke and it's Watford and it's Liverpool. No offense. And
wait a minute.
Well, he beat him 4-0. Anyways, and
I'm on your side here.
They'll be like, whatever. But
doesn't matter. That's not the point.
But you know, in the Champions League, I think they will. That's the measuring stick that they might use. So he needs to perform well in that tournament.
But the only thing about the Champions League thing is that it's not unfair when people bring it up, primarily because, as we all know, that's what he was brought in for. Right. He wasn't brought in to win this league. Pellegrini won the league. Mancini won this league. That's not what he's here for. He's here to take them to another level. So if he can't do that, that's what people are going to talk about.
When Bernie said Pellegrini won, I feel like I get a flashback. I feel like he says that on a daily basis. I think the sentence, Pep was brought for the Champions League, and then comma, Pellegrini won the league. I hear it on a daily basis.
it's also because we spent a couple of years discussing Bayern, in which every week Bernie was like, Pep was not brought in to win the league. He was brought in to win the Champions League.
I've been hearing that sentence for 4 years
of my
life.
All I'm going to say is it wrong?
Sure, I'm saying... I've heard it way too much.
It's literally not. Because until you guys say it on your own, I'm going to keep saying it myself.
Okay, so what we need to do is email Chiqui Bagiristain and get him to say in public, we brought Pep Guardiola in to win the league. That's what we need. All right, let's move on. Liverpool 0, Manchester United 0. I mean, did you expect anything more from this game than what was produced?
Yes! You know what? I have to say yes because... It's a rival game. It's supposed to be a big game. It's supposed to be much more entertaining than this. I would just like to say I fucking hate Jose so much. So much.
Right.
And this solidified it even more. What an incredible season so far to be pulling the points that they're pulling. Not doing anything.
I mean,
it
was supposed to be a huge game. People were hyping the game so much. Fanzone or whatever that channel is did a studio in India just to talk about this game. Like, it was supposed to be a huge deal. We woke up at 7:30 in the morning to watch it.
First game after the international break.
Yeah,
I'm so amped and
why did you
nothing.
Have this perception? Did you watch the game last season? It was the exact same thing.
We
I
thought
don't
he
think
changed.
He was.
With 4-0 and 3-0 and 4-1,
I don't
thought
think
he changed.
No! Okay. Jose Mourinho never changes. You
what
should
was,
know this by now.
Okay, this is what I want to explore then. What was the difference between this year and last year?
Well, for one thing, we played a lot better.
Oh,
that's
Liverpool
true.
Played well, yeah.
We played a lot better. We got in behind that back line a lot. For a line that was supposed to be...
In this game or the last
In this
year.
Game, in this
okay.
game. For a line that was supposed to be holding us to the middle, that did not happen. Salah was unstoppable.
Salah
he kept on slicing the back four a lot. Coutinho, I would say, was curtailed a lot. That was a bit of a difference. But I thought we played a really good game.
Well, you had possession because United almost gave it to you at that time.
65% possession for the game.
I mean, first thing, I do agree. I mean, Liverpool were great in this game. We said it after the game. I have no problem saying that. They were great. I disagree in the context of getting behind them that much. It didn't happen that much. De Gea had one
save, but it was world class
from the best goalkeeper in the world, bar none. End of discussion. Anyway,
Chan had a chance. Lovren had a chance.
Yeah, but those were not clear. Those were kind of half chance. They were not clear.
What do you mean half chance?
Lovren chance.
Also, when you have the header from the corner,
when you have nine players behind the ball as United did, those are good chances. Like to break down a team like United had eight or nine players.
I'm just saying this is what I expected United to do from what Jose was going to do. I don't believe that after the easy run in, he's going to go into his first game at Anfield and then expand the pace. It's not going to happen.
It's a point away from home, and you know what? These kind of points.
I'm quoting him now.
Who? Mourinho? Yeah. I mean, he did say who got. Mourinho was like, who got man of the. He asked the reporter, who got man of the match? And the reporter said, Joe Gomez. And he went, well, we must have not played that bad. Anyways, the point is, people are creating a lot of comparisons between how Mourinho approaches the game and how, let's say, Pep approached the Liverpool game, how Pep approached the Chelsea game. And they're just saying that is the difference between the two managers. Mourinho is so pragmatic to the point where it's boring.
He's also pragmatic.
Sure.
But I think the other thing that people forget about Manchester United, Jose Mourinho, he's obviously, I mean, firstly, in the Man City game against Liverpool, there was a red card. We all know this. Yeah. And Liverpool, in that first half, were better than Man City. Let's be honest about that.
By miles.
It was not actually very close because Salah, again, was running rampant.
He had a few one-on-ones that game, yeah.
But like we said, he is pragmatic, yes. But they had a chance to win this game.
Lukaku
had pretty much, except for Matip, the best chance in the whole game.
Had Lukaku taken that chance, Mourinho would be insufferable.
Yes,
at this moment, like more than he is right now.
So would I. Yeah. I would be on a rampage right now.
But then the game would have opened up because Liverpool would have come even harder to try and score a goal.
It's weird because I think if I were a United fan, I think I would take a season where I enjoy, beating up on the smaller teams, 4-0, 3-1s, and, getting draws away from home against the big teams and maybe tight games against the big teams. I think I would take that. I can't complain.
I mean,
as an Arsenal fan who goes into these big games with no tactical nous whatsoever, with no game plan whatsoever, I feel that would be a breath of fresh air.
Miserable football. It is completely awful.
I will tell you something. The Manchester United fans at Anfield chanted Louis van Gaal's Red Army.
What? Yeah. Well, because he beat Liverpool twice at Anfield.
He beat Liverpool twice. He didn't do this. And Manchester United fans against Liverpool want you to go out there and beat the shit out of
them. I think during
you can't
the
do that against a rival.
During the LVG games a few seasons ago, I think they were yelling Moises' Red Army. Do you remember that?
No,
never happened?
Also, he beat them four times.
He was good. He was good against Liverpool. Obviously, he was good against Liverpool.
Talking about all the times they beat Liverpool. Is that what you might be here today?
Right. No, you're right.
Okay, I've got a genuine Liverpool question for you then. When you're looking to win the game and United aren't posing much of a threat,
yes.
How do we feel about Klopp taking off Coutinho and Salah and ending the game with a front line of Solanke, Sturridge, and Oxlade-Chamberlain?
My God. I mean, if he had added just attackers at that particular moment in time, we would be having a different conversation about how Klopp is a stubborn person who doesn't learn from his mistakes, right. who always does things the
is
Klopp way.
Is this a staunch defense of Jurgen Klopp?
I think it is.
It's the only staunch defense he's got.
I made a note, a really long note of this, about in that moment, it was a clear chess match move, right? Between Mourinho, who's like, okay, I'm going to bring in Rashford. What are you going to do? Because he's trying to draw an irrational response from Liverpool.
That's the only response Klopp has.
It wasn't meant to be Rashford.
Yes.
It was meant to draw an irrational response from Liverpool in that particular moment. A team who has had a lot of problems, not just from United, but every other team in terms of attacking way too hard and then getting caught on the brakes and then losing because the back four were playing way too high. And that is literally Mourinho's game. So in this particular moment, he kind of goes like, listen, I don't think we'll do the thing that you want them to do.
fine.
Thank you for the invitation, like, but I think the fuck not. And that's what we did.
Also, international break, take into account. I think Salah was coming back from that Egypt game. Like,
he did for Mourinho.
Like sure, but so again, that last 20 minutes could make a big difference in terms of getting an injury, maybe, yeah. or, you know, overplaying.
I don't buy that for a second. I think when Salah is playing the way he's playing, you pull an Alexis Sanchez on the guy and say, you stay on there and you finish this job. Because Ox did a great job in this game, except he was crossing the ball.
No
one in Liverpool's team is going to head the ball. So it was self-defeatist.
We have to remember that this is a week where... This is a tough week. We have United, and then we have Maribor tomorrow.
Tough, huh?
And then after that... Listen.
Listen.
I do this to every Liverpool
player. And then Spurs on Sunday. Like, this is not...
I have a question for you.
You can't start them all three games. You just can't.
Liverpool question.
No, gosh. I love this.
Why... Yeah. Did you buy Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Yeah, that was a question.
I'm gonna give you a second.
Okay,
take a second, breathe.
I think that was a funny question before this game.
Okay,
and I think this game he kind of showed what he's capable of. Listen, I don't think he's a great footballer. Mm-hmm. I think
he's not.
But I think
yeah, I'm telling you, he's not.
I think he's a good one. I think he can be a good one. I think played right. I think he can. He's a very athletic guy. He can. He's sort of a little bit like a horse. In the sense that, like literally, you put a horse on the field. He doesn't know what to do with a ball, but he can run real fast.
Right.
And sometimes he can get there first. And hopefully he can, like, kick it to somebody else.
So Liverpool question.
But like the segment.
He stated that he came to Liverpool to play in the middle.
Right. Yes.
But we're all seem to be suggesting... Forget that shit. You cannot play in the middle.
But he's also an idiot. So you can't
I'm not saying... Listen, I think this game showed what he... Could do
what he can offer.
He hasn't had one start against Leicester.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. Sané is injured.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't play, then Mane, when do you? I keep saying Sané for Mane.
Different guy.
Yeah, you wish you had Sané. Mane was
no, I don't. I take Mane over Sané any day if we're
true,
playing
for
a rhyming game.
That's
anyway,
Mane is injured.
Yeah.
You don't play.
Yeah.
The other game, I think, who was in? Coutinho was out, and Firmino was something. He didn't play again. I mean, when Klopp starts playing Sturridge ahead of you, and Klopp does not like Sturridge, there's an issue.
Listen, here's the thing. I think we have options everywhere but the back four. And
right.
So he's here to compete. And if he's here to compete, like, let him compete. He's going to get some starts this week, I'm guessing, because we have two games and a not tough game, according to you.
Well, you're going to make it tough for yourselves against Maribor.
But I mean,
if
I think
Ox
we
starts.
I think he's going to.
He can do something against Maribor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't say it was anything.
Okay, we'll be back here next week and we'll see what he does against Maribor.
Take
that,
okay? Slovenian football. But yes, absolutely.
All right, I think we should move on because, I mean, we could talk about this forever. Let's talk about Crystal Palace Chelsea, the London derby. Yes, I mean,
no one predicted this.
Before the game, Chelsea put out a tweet with a little video infographic saying everything you need to know about our opposition coming up, and it was all about how they haven't scored in 10 years,
wow.
how they've conceded 700 goals in the last 3 minutes, etc., etc., etc.
I mean, they did.
And obviously that got retweeted like crazy after the game. So, game started, no Morata.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming back from injury or whatever. Willian played, which Chelsea fans are hating on so much right now online.
Are they?
Yes. Oh,
why?
Big time. Because they don't think he has like a footballing brain. He doesn't have enough stats in his game.
Absolutely sensitive.
You like him. I know you like him, but
are you sure this isn't just you? Because like
Chelsea fans
love Willian.
I like Willian. I really do, but I don't think he has stats. He doesn't have enough stats. He's slightly similar to Hazard. It's overblown.
Imagine sitting in the stands being like, "Oi, Willian, get off. Your stats are shit." I don't know.
These are the tweets I saw.
Willian is not the guy that you associate with stats anyway. You bring him on because he's an effective player and makes things happen. I don't think, like, it's not like Eden Hazard where you're like, "Hey, where are your goals? Where are your assists?" Like,
I think
you
play Pedro
guy.
Over Willian any day.
You would do that?
Yeah.
I would never do that.
I don't know.
No.
Everybody would play Willian over Pedro?
He's a simply better player than Pedro.
He's a good player.
Pedro will not have the silky smooth look on the field, but he will get you an assist to goal again.
What are you saying? Pedro's a good looking guy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's expand this. Hazard, Pedro, and Willian have all been rubbish this year.
Hazard doesn't look as good.
All of them have been rubbish this season.
Yes.
Yes.
Why?
Hazard hasn't stepped up when they needed him, which is this game. It's for, you know, he started the game. he didn't step up. He didn't take the game by the scruff of the neck. He didn't do that thing where, you know, his fanboys online love to say he's top five, top three, blah, blah, blah. He's not that guy. He's just not. He's not even top three in the Premier League. I mean,
this runs deep.
He's just not. He's not even top five in the Premier League.
No, he's not. I agree with you on that.
Well, not now.
But
never.
I don't think that's true.
The season he won player of the season, true. He literally had like 7.5 goals. Yeah, he did nothing.
How do you have a half goal?
Own goal or something.
Counts. But honestly, here, the thing with Chelsea is I think we're starting to see something in that Leicester won the league.
Yeah.
Chelsea won the league after finishing 10th. Wow. There are these really terrible underdog teams that are winning the Premier League. Like, this is a thing.
Right, no, I agree. In the same sentence? Right. In the same sentence?
Wow. So,
they were missing...
That's a bigger bonus.
No excuses for Chelsea.
I'm going to get in trouble for this.
You both have Danny Drinkwater.
No excuses for Chelsea at all, but they were missing their two best players. In Morata in the front and Kante in the back.
Mate.
I'm just saying, no excuse, but they were missing their two best players. I think Kante's effect started to show in this game quite a bit, because Palace's midfield... What's that guy's name?
Goodbye?
No.
Punchin?
No.
The one that sounds Eastern European?
Yeah.
All right, we know.
He was controlling the center mid really well against Bakayoko, and Cesc did nothing this game.
Who was in defense?
Who was it? Everybody. Luis is back.
Azpilicueta had a terrible game. Yeah. Listen. Luis is not a good football player.
Oi.
We've been over this. He's just not.
We've been over it. Disagree.
Zaha. He's just not.
Oh, yes. Zaha came back and he killed it.
Showed up.
Yeah.
And with him showing up, the rest of Palace was like, oh, I guess we'll play a little.
To be fair to Palace and Palace fans,
because they showed up.
They did say, wait till Zaha's back. They did say that for like 8 games when they didn't score a single
goal. You know how sad that is?
But look at that.
All right. I've got a serious question, right?
Why? I was enjoying the non-serious
question. Right, well, you know, is Hodgson getting Fulham to Europa League final a bigger achievement, or is getting this Palace team to beat Chelsea a bigger
achievement?
Didn't
they beat Juve on the way?
Yeah.
Fulham. I take that.
Fulham.
Because I think that went to extra time, that final against Atletico Madrid, that had Forlan and Aguero in that.
Jesus.
Game.
Didn't
can
they
I
also
just,
play Ronaldinho? Wasn't Ronaldinho?
I'm just going to defend this win because they're defending champions. Like, it's not. This is no small thing.
But remember, they're like Leicester.
So. They're not.
He's repeating it. I'm not associated with it. It does. It weirds me out a bit when Andros Townsend is good.
Yeah,
I don't really know what to do with myself.
But again, this was definitely the biggest upset we've seen, I think, all season. I mean, yeah, I would say all season.
But if it feels like Chelsea are capable of this after they lost to Burnley 3-2 at home, right?
Palace hadn't scored a goal 3 managers ago, and they beat Chelsea.
Yeah.
Put it in perspective.
Chelsea that beat Atletico Madrid.
Yes. Like, Chelsea are a good team. No matter what, you're going to say it again.
Leicester
say
beat Sevilla?
Yes.
They beat Sevilla, right? I'm just checking.
Yes, Shakespeare.
The Premier League winners can beat good Spanish opposition. Just
yes, that's true.
I've got a Roy Hodgson quote.
I love it. So, sorry. You were saying that the team, the reigning champions in the Premier League can be like the fifth team in La Liga and we're happy. We're going,
Atletico
yes.
Atletico are not doing well in the league.
No,
season.
Sevilla.
Just,
Sevilla.
Yeah.
Alex. Big Roy.
Yeah.
I don't drink an awful lot these days. Red wine isn't the best thing to drink if you want to keep your calories low. But I'll enjoy a glass tonight because I enjoyed watching my boys play well and I'm proud of their performance. I'll just say this. You've lost that fight. Like, he's 70.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about it.
He keeps just getting rehired, though. So he's doing something right.
I'm not saying don't take jobs.
Oh.
I'm saying drink all the wine you want.
Like, yeah, at this point, yeah.
Right,
I mean, this is the high of the season.
Yeah.
It's not getting better than this.
He
it's all downhill.
He deserves that.
I think they're just getting started, man.
Oh, yeah? Top four?
I mean, listen, no. Watford is in the top four. Anything can happen.
Newcastle was in the top four like 2 weeks ago. Anything
how,
can happen.
How do you feel good about Crystal Palace after Istanbul?
Ooh. Ooh.
Like, I'm just...
I'm sorry, he does this to every Liverpool fan. he does this. I'm so sorry.
We can be friends, I promise you. I really do.
But Crystal Ball, though.
I don't like it. I don't like it even a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I think that wraps up these 3 games. Let's do a quick quiz
let's
before
do a
we
quiz.
Carry on. Welcome to the quiz this week called the Alberto Aquislani.
Yay.
Well done. I got that
Yay.
Right.
All right. Third take.
Yeah. Yes. All right, let's remind people of our buzz-ins. Alex and Bernie.
That was easy.
And Elamine. There we go. So, I got 3 questions for you guys today. Question number 1. There are four clubs in the Football League whose names end in Rovers. Name them. Alex.
Bristol.
Yes.
Which side, in the Premier League or Football League?
Football League, Alex.
Tranmere.
Wow. No, they're not in the Football League. Let me.
Blackburn?
Yes.
That was easy.
Doncaster?
Yes, and ooh, the last one you won't get, Forest Green Rovers.
I would've...
Okay.
Sorry, where are... what did you say?
Tranmere.
Where are they?
Yeah. I don't think they're in the Football League right now.
Really?
And even if they are, you know, goal or...
Alex, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Well, so who gets the point? We all picked one up.
Everybody gets a point.
Oh, it's like MLS.
Yeah. You get a point, you get a point, everyone gets a point. Question number two. Who is the first Argentinian to win a Premier League Player of the Month award?
My lord.
That's...
Premier League.
Premier League Player of the Month award. And I mean...
Wait, I have no actual guess.
Oh, okay.
Name
Argentinian players who play in the... Alex.
Crack.
Ozio, no.
Give me a decade.
Okay. It's gotta be 90s. Like 90s?
Yeah.
Early 2000s? I don't want to say it wrong. It's maybe end 90s, early 2000s.
The Alessandro, is it?
No, it's a good, famous player. Alex.
Ainsa?
No.
Aguero?
No. Earlier.
Earlier.
Mate.
Oh, this is nonsense.
Come on.
It can't be Varane.
It is.
What? He was so bad!
Varane was the first Argentinian. I mean, it doesn't mean he's good. He was just the first Argentinian.
But player of the month means four consecutive decent performances.
Yeah, I mean, he had a period.
Well, in his second season, yeah.
He scored a few free kicks.
Yeah, against Southampton.
All right, last question. Which two players scored to send each of Nigeria and Egypt to the World Cup? Alex.
Salah and Iwobi.
Well done.
Right, I've been asked to start talking about Arsenal. The problem is, the game was so shit that I fell asleep during the first half and I missed the second half.
Yeah, on my couch.
Yeah, on Mohamed's couch. Lovely couch, by the way. Terrific couch. Best couch. The first half was incredibly rubbish.
Whoa. Nothing you're skipping happened. To the first half? Let's talk about the starting lineup. The game hasn't even started
I don't
yet.
Have a problem with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wilshere on the bench, Elneny, Xhaka, Iwobi, and Welbeck are four players that are trying to create anything. Welbeck can't control a ball. Elneny will not pass forward. Xhaka just...
Okay,
is...
here's the thing.
Yeah.
They are players in the squad.
Right.
Like, what do you want? Sanchez isn't available. Ramsey's injured.
Right.
Mesut Ozil, whatever.
Right.
They've been better without him. So, and Jack Wilshere isn't fit. I mean, he's fit, but
he can't ever say
Jack Wilshere is
Arsene
fit.
Arsene Wenger literally said at the press conference, this is the best I've ever seen him, blah, blah, blah.
Sure,
blah,
but
blah.
The bar is so
do
low
you
that
you really
doesn't
listen
matter.
To anything Arsene Wenger actually
yeah,
says
do
anymore?
Do you believe him at this point?
That doesn't make... That's meaningless to do.
Really, he should have played instead of Elneny to give us that creative drive going forward because none of our players were creative enough. And like I said, it was just chilling on the top. No one could give him the ball.
Whatever lineup Arsenal put out should be able to beat Watford.
I don't know.
Hold on a minute.
I like Watford.
Hold on a minute.
I don't like Watford. I like Marco Silva.
I mean, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
Rennie's hype man.
I'm trying to say this gently.
Yeah.
You don't need to.
But here's the thing. I actually have been enjoying Watford this year. And maybe you guys had to show the fuck up in order to actually beat Watford.
Maybe Watford is
which is a surprise.
That is a revolutionary theory.
It's an insane theory. I can't even believe I'm saying the words out loud.
Speaking of Marco Silva, he did specifically say, either him or Troy Deeney in that ridiculous interview they did after the game, he did say that Marco Silva did specifically tell them that this is exactly what's going to happen. In the 60th minute, Giroud's going to come on, etc., etc. So, and he said, the minute this happens, this is what we're going to do. But like, this is someone who actually has a plan going into the game. You know, during this game, one of the greatest moments was when it was 1-1 or 2-1. I think he wanted to bring Wilshere on. Wilshere's literally on the sideline about to get on. Koscielny gets injured. Instead of continuing with his plan, he literally just switches it up. At 1-1, he goes, you know what? Because he only got injured, let's put on holding 1-4-1 instead of Wilshere. Why? And then he played so much at centre-back in preseason, move him back, put on Wilshere, play 4-4-2, do something productive with your life.
I think we need to come to terms with the fact that Arsenal are no longer good enough to just assume they're going to win a football match. It's not going to happen anymore. I think there is this misconception about the quality of player at Arsenal and the mentality of player at Arsenal.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
These players are simply not good enough to win the league. It's not going to happen. This is what a lot of people have said, that in man for man, on paper, Arsenal players, they are not. They are just
this season, absolutely not.
No chance.
In previous seasons, that was a totally legitimate argument.
That's true. I don't even think about that. No offense again to come back to Liverpool, but I honestly feel
it's just. Wait a minute!
I think it's going to end up good for you.
I'll tell you what it is. You guys,
we're shitting on your team, and you want to take a left turn and be like, "Well, hold on a minute."
I'm worried that Arsenal going to that, you know, the last kind of 5 years of Liverpool's
this isn't going to be good
timeline, where you know you're just not. You know, the team won't be good enough. You won't be able to attract top quality players anymore, etc., etc. And you will go into that slump where you finish out of the top four for a few seasons in a row. And I just feel Arsenal are heading towards that
kind of 3-4 year
period. Ozil's going to leave. Sanchez's going to leave. Wenger's going to leave in a year. And nothing's going to happen.
But here's the thing. Ozil leaving is neither here nor there.
Correct.
It makes absolutely no difference.
Yep.
And I'm not saying he's not a good player, but no difference to the outcome. Of Arsenal.
No, but it makes a difference if Wenger leaves next season and someone actually comes in with a plan.
No.
It's good to have him there for
that
time.
Maybe, but forget that. As of right now, it makes no difference to the end result of Arsenal's fortunes. If you know that Arsenal is going to still be there, get rid of Mesut Ozil, get rid of Alexis Sanchez, blow the whole thing up,
and start
it again. I like
how you say that as if there's any choice in the matter.
Yeah, so, I mean, this game was extremely disappointing. I mean, even at 1-0 up, I don't think Arsenal deserved to be ahead. It was a set piece. It was a corner kick. Mertesacker playing his first game in 35 years for Arsenal. The first time an Arsenal captain started in something like 3 years.
And the defending for that last goal, not just him, everybody,
oh, yeah,
was a complete and colossal disgrace.
Deeney came
the
on.
Last goal?
Yeah. Like,
for Cleverley's goal. Absolute dereliction of duty from everybody.
Troy Deeney came on for like 20 minutes and absolutely dominated our back line. Dominated our back line. Like, it was ridiculous to watch.
Before we go on to the last goal, though, we skipped the penalty.
That was a scandal.
You want to know when the last time Petr Cech saved a penalty was?
When he was at Chelsea.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, he it's
2011.
How many penalties?
2011.
Has a penalty.
A penalty. Yeah. Any penalty.
One. Well, not even one.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Anyways, I mean, it was crazy to watch because the midfield was non-existent. There was no, you know, controlling of the tempo. Watford knew exactly what they were doing. They just sat back. We could not break them down. In the second half, we did have a good... It was literally 1-0 up. Ozil got that glorious chance to make it 2-0, I believe, with the same attack, which gave us the penalty. And look, the whole dive thing. I think at that pace, any little bit of contact will slightly tick you over.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I just feel the onus is a bit more on the referee than the player in this particular instance. I feel at that pace... what's his name? Bellerin puts his elbow on Richarlison's back. He kind of leans into him, into his path a little bit. I feel you can fall. I can't really fault him too much. I fault the ref for giving the penalty more than the player for falling.
No, I agree with you in the sense that when you're going in at that speed, and Richarlison, I mean, he was beating Bellerin pace for pace. So you know that he was going really, really fast.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. Except for the fact that you can clearly see his reaction when he's going down. And he sold it.
Sure.
And he did a good job selling it.
Well, the other thing was...
He should have been banned?
I mean, if you're going by the letter of the law, if you think that's simulation, then he's supposed to get a retrospective ban.
Yeah, but who cares? Yeah. Chelsea benefit from that because he doesn't play against them. How does that help Arsenal in any way?
Nothing helps
Arsenal.
Exactly. Precedence. I mean, if you think it was a dive, then you need to do it. Regardless, the thing is too, though, that, you know, Arsene Wenger came out after and said it was a scandalous decision, it wasn't a penalty. A lot of pundits said it wasn't a penalty. The Arsenal players didn't react. No one gave a shit. No one, even Bellerin.
That's historic.
Just turned around and walked away.
That's historic. Like, Arsenal players have no.
There's just
cojones.
Nothing there.
Literally, they have no balls. Like this is not this year.
Figures.
But literally, figuratively, they have no balls.
On that subject,
I don't think Nasri.
I do agree with what you were trying to say in the beginning, which is when you've played poorly, to pick up on something offside goal or a penalty,
that's
not the point of them. The point is you were terrible. Fix that first before you talk.
The thing is, when people
like
complain
that.
About that and they go, "Oh, you're so harsh on Arsene Wenger. It was a penalty and an offside, etc." It's like when you blow your lid about Arsenal, it's not just this game. It's years building up to all these games that happen. It's not this specific penalty incident or offside. No, it's just this is deja vu. This is Groundhog Day over and over. And we won 4 games. You know, one of them in Europa League and 2 against God knows who at home. And all of a sudden, we've turned the corner and we're going to win the league.
I don't think anyone said that.
Oh, man. People are like, look at Arsene Wenger. He's doing great. Four games in a row.
This happens every single year. Do you think there's not enough people who are Wenger in?
It's insane.
Rana just follows all the wrong people on
Twitter. You follow people who say Wenger in?
He's got Wenger so in. Many. He's got Eden Hazard fanboys. Like, who are you following?
Anyways, there's a, if you don't think there's a huge, huge amount of Arsenal fans that are Wenger in, then I don't know where you're
because
looking.
Because they're scared of the, anything else. They
what,
don't know
what is worse? We came fifth last season. What is worse than that? Sixth? Like,
I can tell you, yeah, that six is pretty bad. Like, unless you win the Europa League, is pretty bad.
I enjoy the fact that like this is ringing alarm bells for you because you're worried that they're heading in the direction of Liverpool.
Yes,
that's what makes me furious because I think we're doing a lot better than you.
No, of course, but the transition period where you know Liverpool came fifth and sixth a few seasons in a row, found it hard to attract top quality players because of the position in the league, because there's no Champions League football. It's just that cycle that you can't, it's very hard to get out of.
Also, I would say a dramatic fallacy, first off, that Arsenal attract top quality players. You got Alexis Sanchez, who was a reject from Barcelona. You got Mesut Ozil, who was sent away by Real Madrid. You guys don't sign those players in the first place. What makes Arsenal great in the past wasn't those players. It was the manager managing. Right. And actually doing his job of coaching
There's no managing.
So maybe get back to that. And then we'll see what happens.
I mean, the only problem is the board is going to hire a manager the same way we do transfers. They're going to hire some dude we don't know. They're going to hire a guy that we've never heard of. Or they're going to hire, you know, Bournemouth manager and Watford manager. And they're going to go so small.
Whoa.
If they hired the Watford manager, I would be fucking delighted.
I think you'd be doing okay.
Let me ask you an Arsenal question. If I gave you Thomas Tuchel right now, what would you say?
I will take you as manager. I just want change. I'm not like actually not kidding, Brittany. Alex agrees with me. Yeah. Any form of change. Mm-hmm. And I will take it for a year or two. We'll come 10th. I'm just bored. I was telling Alamin off air, I live for football. 28 years, number one passion, bar none. By a mile, you know?
Mm-hmm. T is a close second.
I am starting to dislike football. Just because I hate it. I hate it now. He sucks. I was telling you, he's the dementor of my life.
Like Arsene Wenger.
Yes, Arsene Wenger. He's sucking the soul out of me. Mm-hmm. That you know, I don't look forward to the game anymore. We lost 2-1. I got up, you know, continued my life as if nothing happened.
You shouldn't.
No emotion. Yeah, no emotion. Just done. Whatever. It happened. Yeah.
I couldn't even troll him on social media anymore because I know it has no effect. He's numb inside.
I know.
No, that is the thing. Like, he's right. It is numbing. No one cares anymore. It's just any kind of change would be fine.
Yeah.
And so,
anyways.
Yeah.
Let's move on because, again, we say the same thing about Arsenal on the pod every week and nothing changes. And until Arsene Wenger leaves, I don't think it's
4 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Let's talk Spurs-Bournemouth. Spurs.
I don't mean to disrespect Tottenham. The game was boring.
They've been disrespected enough. Pep Guardiola, yes. Bernie Uche. Yeah,
I disrespect everyone equally. But 1-0 against Bournemouth, great.
I think it's worth mentioning just for all the poor souls, myself included, that had Harry Kane as captain on fantasy.
Oh, everyone.
Thinking he'll score 4 against this lot.
I did.
Yeah. And then everyone, you know, doesn't even show up.
I think I have Vardy, Kane, and Rashford.
But Vardy scored. Wow. Well done.
The funny thing is, I was taking the piss because you had Ayoze Perez, and he scored this weekend.
That's ruining my life.
It is a big deal, though, for Spurs winning at home.
Yes,
you
in the league.
In the league, because they haven't done that. So, you know, if this starts kind of a run of good results for them, then, you know, whatever, their fans will be happy.
Eriksen has 3 and 5, which is very impressive.
Eriksen's been one of their best players. I mean, until Kane kind of kicked off once August ended. Eriksen,
Oktoberfest.
No. Eriksen was the guy for them. Dele Alli's doing absolutely nothing. And but with nothing, I mean absolutely nothing.
Let's not do that thing that you do with Dele Alli, that you do with Hazard.
What?
Just leave it.
That he's useless?
There we go.
Okay.
two seasons of evidence, 7 games of poor form.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bournemouth are low-key really shit.
Isn't Eddie Howe supposed to be the new Arsenal manager?
Well, low-key because no one's really like...
No one talks
like,
about
not like Crystal Palace and West Ham and etc. Like, they've been bad under the radar. Like, they've been horrible.
They've got 4 points. They've won one game and they've scored 4 goals.
Can I just say that everyone said buying Defoe would be awesome. Because Defoe has done it everywhere, which he has, and was great in that terrible Sunderland team. He hasn't done shit.
Okay, but Brittany, what else can you go on? Like, you have 20 years of historical data.
It's just hilarious to me that he decided now. Well done.
You know what I
didn't
mean?
Get it. I didn't get it at first. Well done.
Like, what are you going to do?
Well done.
Anyways, so yes.
Can we do rapid fire the rest of these games?
Yeah. Oh, that's what we're going to do. Because we're already like an hour.
Like, Serie A was great.
Yes, yes. We got to talk. Okay, Swansea beat Huddersfield 2-0. Tammy Abraham, you know, he's doing well. Two goals there, so well done. You know, anyways.
He nicked one of them off Jordan Ayew, who was extremely upset.
Yeah.
I mean, the notes for the next game are amazing.
Yeah.
Did you watch that game?
No.
Okay, because fuck. Yeah. That is not a bill that I'm ever really... Yeah, I'll stop here. I'll stop my life for this.
Yes, I like Huddersfield, though. I really want him to do well.
I saw a lot of people on Twitter were making fun of Huddersfield's kit for this particular game.
What was it? Was it different than the regular kit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I couldn't tell you.
That's how much...
that's how much he doesn't care. He didn't even investigate for it. Okay.
This seems funny, but I don't care enough.
I'll make a mental note to vaguely mention it.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. Burnley West Ham 1-1. This is the Andy Carroll show. He's an absolute moo.
Speaking of having horses on fields, he's just careering around,
hoofing people in the head.
I hate him so much.
Like the way he rapped for the second yellow. This was 2 minutes later. 2 minutes. Like he doesn't even have a brain. Like he sprinted at the dude, elbowed him in the face, and then he turned around and went what? What mate?
Even Bilic was like, I'm angry. Andy Carroll can't do this. I'm just imagining him in the dining room with all the other players, and they've got their meals, and he's just got a bag of oats around his head.
Yes, and he has like blinders. Brighton, Everton 1-1. Rooney penalty to save the day. Everton are still awful. They were 1-0 down. I was really enjoying it.
Yeah,
I thought that. Yeah, I hope this ends this way. Bernie, we've heard your hate against Everton. We know.
No, I was about to say we have two articles hating on Everton in a row. Yes. That just shows you how bad and how much.
Yeah, and last podcast you went in.
Like,
it was Sigurdsson playing on the wing, etc.
Okay.
Koeman's gonna get sacked.
Par for the course.
Gotta make for a good derby though.
That's true.
When is that?
Do not forget.
Is that next?
Next is Everton's first 3 points because they play Arsenal, and that's what we do. We give people on bad form points.
I will do anything for Rooney to score against you.
Again. Oh, he will.
Beat Arsenal next week, I will throw a parade. Like it'll just be me.
Call me. I'll do it.
Okay, what do you mean? We will be there. We will literally be there. Chanting Wenger out.
Perfect.
Southampton, Newcastle 2-2. Gabby Adini's goal was weird. He got the ball kind of on the byline, was allowed... I mean, to be fair, Makiu did a good job to follow him around, but he was kind of allowed to do this big semicircle arc where no one did anything, and then he just trickled it into... Like, I was watching, I was like... Because I knew Gabby Adini got the goal, so I was watching the highlights, and he got the ball. I'm like, wait, why does he have the ball? He can't score from here. And then he just did this arc for like 10 minutes, and then put it in.
Yeah, it was like watching Sol Campbell on a Tuesday.
Right.
Just turning around.
Yeah, Sol Campbell, who, by the way, is... Trinidad and Tobago, assistant manager.
Did you guys see bench. That?
What? He was on the bench for Trinidad and Tobago, for both of them. Trinidad and Tobago.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, I know, that's crazy.
You can't manage. He had no jobs and he went to two jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Newcastle are doing well. Hayden's first goal in the Premier League. Ayoze, who I had in my fantasy at the start of the season.
Oh, you too?
Start. Oh. Thinking it's my small striker. You know, you always have one shit striker.
The cheap one.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
But Newcastle are doing okay, and Newcastle are up for sale, Bernie, you were saying.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, Mike Ashley's done with it.
I just can't wait for the Chinese consortium that's going to come in there, throw a lot of money in, and still sack Rafa, even though Rafa's been
As long as they don't, you know, ban pies or anything like that, because every Chinese consortium come in and change a major thing about every club. So if they ban pies, there will be a revolution.
Liverpool question.
And we're back.
I said at the end of, I think, last pod that... Rafa's too good for Newcastle. Everton need a new manager. Why doesn't he go over there?
I said,
would you be mad if he did that?
To Liverpool?
If he went to Everton?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Of course.
I tried to argue that.
He can go everywhere but.
Everywhere but Everton.
Can't go to United either. But
what about Liverpool?
Hell no, I would kick him out of United.
I think that position is currently filled.
Oh, yeah?
Thank you very much for your interest.
Would you take him back then?
No. Not right now.
If Klopp was...
He likes Klopp. You can see it in his face. He likes Klopp.
Here's the thing. Yes. I've been struggling a lot with how much I like versus not like Klopp. I'm like, listen, the international break is long. You read a lot of pieces that are like, maybe Klopp ain't shit. Yeah. You know, maybe Klopp is not exactly the manager we thought he was going to be. But listen, I think, has been trying to mold the steam to be something kind of effective.
I think what it is you hate on Klopp, and then he gives you one of those hugs, and you're just back. You're back, baby.
He means it, man.
Yeah.
The problem with this pod is there's so much to like sink your teeth into.
I know.
Liverpool question: has he been anywhere near as good as Brendan Rodgers?
I think he's been better.
No, he's not. Statistically,
I mean, wrong. Statistically,
but guys, Bernie has the answer to the question. We
But the thing about but the Brendan Rodgers reign is that he was genuinely boring Liverpool, and I did not enjoy.
Also, Suarez is a big deal. He was carried by
Suarez
a lot.
Sterling and Sturridge are boring.
I think the latter part after Suarez left, which
yeah, was one season.
But it revealed that
a lot of people are saying that Rodgers was carried by Suarez, though. I mean,
he was
a little bit.
He was
a little bit,
and I kind of hate to admit that.
Right. Yeah,
they did like bite after he left.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Enough Premier League.
Definitely enough Premier League.
For sure.
Let's do a bit of Mumu.
Yeah.
I be Mumu. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day Mumu go wake up.
Ladies and gentlemen, our new sponsor, XTSC.
Extreme Toronto Sports Club, XTSC, offers the best co-ed, men's, and women's recreational leagues across the city. Get your soccer fix with Extreme Toronto Sports Club. Sign up today at xtsc.ca. xtsc.ca.
Go to xtsc.ca and use the code 2017COSHREDS, that's 2017 COSHREDS, for 10% off soccer league registration fees. Welcome to Mumu of the Week. This week we are starting with Pizza Express. Pizza Express in the UK is, I'm trying to think of the equivalent. It's a pizza chain, but it's not terrible. It's not like fast food.
Is it hipster?
Like you sit down. No, it's not hipster.
Okay.
It was pre-hipster.
Okay.
Anyway, they sometimes have live events. Sometimes they have jazz. Sometimes they have like performers or whatever. Recently, one in Holborn in London put on an event with Chris Sutton and Tim Sherwood.
Oof, that brought the honeys.
Live at a pizza restaurant.
Is that how far they've fallen?
Let me.
Or were they ever there?
Let me tell you how they described the event. Never afraid to voice their views on the game, we will be treated to some interesting insights into their playing, management, and media careers.
Well, that did not happen.
Absolutely,
for sure.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely did not happen.
Imagine Tim Sherwood and Chris Sutton in a pizza restaurant, just doing whatever they want.
I wouldn't go.
Yeah, to be fair,
I would grab a slice of pizza and walk out.
If Sherwood took off his gilet and threw it on the ground, like, I would go for that. But if he was telling me about his career, in quotations, I would not go.
He did win the league.
Hey, I mean, Melamin doesn't know what that means.
Oh. Blackburn. Right. Yeah, sorry, mate.
I don't know how you worked it. Yeah.
Our next move, sorry.
Liverpool worked into everything.
Sorry. Just under the bus.
Our next Mumu is Harry Redknapp.
Right.
I think he's been here before. Harry Redknapp, so his Twitter account or himself has been tweeting some rubbish.
Oh, it's not him.
Okay, not him. But he takes any sponsorship gig he can find.
Anyway.
He doesn't filter it for, you know, anything that matches personality or anything like that. He just takes it. And the latest one is Electronium. And that is not a natural resource found in some country that's being mined illegally. Electronium is a platform for Bitcoin, so cryptocurrency. So he goes, proper excited about mobile cryptocurrency. I'm in. Get involved. # Electronium. Wait for it. The first response. I've never sent a fax. I've never sent a text message. But yeah, I'm all in on mobile cryptocurrency. The next response. That's because Electronium is so easy to get into. It's a simple cryptocurrency that promotes mass adoption. Get in now. Thank me later. Next guy goes, mate, no offense, you don't know who Harry Redknapp is. Then this guy now says, honestly, not really. I'm an American, but I don't know what Electronium is either.
Who is Mumu, though? I think Electronium or whatever are Mumu for getting Harry Redknapp as their spokesperson.
No, because look, they've got plenty of exposure. The point is, like, the person that runs Harry Redknapp's Twitter account. And the good thing is that he's tried to make it sound like it's him by using proper excited. You know?
Yeah,
make him sound a bit, proper excited about cryptocurrency. But like,
I thought he made a lot of money as a consultant in Jordan. Why is he doing this?
I don't know. Yeah, true. I mean, make
more money.
Listen. Life is
more
hard.
More money, more problems.
More Electronium money.
Life is hard post-Brexit.
Mm.
He'll take whatever he can right now, mate.
True.
Yeah. Anything else or that's it?
No, that's it.
All right.
I be more. One thing we I know, sha, Mumu no fit live forever. One day, Mumu go wake up.
Italy now, Napoli 1, Roma 0, Napoli 100% record, top of the league, mate.
Yeah.
They're going to win it.
De Rossi assisted for the Napoli goal.
He was horrendous.
Yeah, but why, great finish.
Why is he still playing?
That's a very good question.
Is he still like the highest paid player in Serie A? Because he was at one point. For yeah, like a lot of years in a row, he was.
Yeah, but rubbish. Surprised Roma with that rubbish, but Napoli made them look that rubbish, and I'm grateful.
Napoli top of the table.
Yeah, by 2 points.
Yeah.
And you know what? Juve aren't even second because...
Because they lost to Lazio.
Hey!
At home.
Oh, that segue though.
Mm. That was 30 seconds on the dot for that game. Good job.
Immobile.
Two more goals.
He's killing it. He's absolutely...
Penalty or no penalty, Immobile is. Because it looked like he dangled his foot out.
Mate.
And...
He got two-footed.
No, not that one. Area. No. That was Dybala's.
Sorry.
I'm talking about Immobile coming in with the ball. Buffon comes out. You can clearly see.
Buffon mistimes it. Yeah.
Buffon doesn't get him until Immobile literally sticks his leg out.
When you dangle your dongle, you get a penalty.
On that
note. Put Dybala's shirt, man.
Dybala missed the last minute penalty.
That's two in a row he's missed.
That is two in a row.
Take him off penalties.
Didn't he miss it twice? Because he had to retake it, no?
That was Jovinko.
No.
Oh,
they look the same.
Oh,
they look the same. We're doing a full circle. Back to Toronto FC an hour ago.
Now Italians look the same.
Yeah. That's just racist.
I've offended too many people today.
Chelsea fans, Italians. Yeah, well then.
Yeah. Inter beat Milan. Well, that's weird, but you know what I mean.
The Chinese Milan derby. This was great.
Yep. Inter Icardi. Oof. Another striker on just. He takes his chances right now. He doesn't get a lot, but he just takes them all and. Two of them were great. I mean, obviously, because the third one was a penalty, but two of them were great finishes. What's his name? Still playing really well.
Perisic.
Yes.
You forget every week. It's great.
But you know what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was Suso.
Suso's goal was great.
Yeah, so.
I thought Icardi's second finish was brilliant. I mean, it looks like it's a fluke, but it's not. Like, he wanted to slice the ball.
It was like a mini double kick.
Yes, a double kick. It was. And the penalty, I loved it after the goal. He did the whole, like, you know, shirt in hand, showing the Milan fans the jersey, etc., etc.
I'm tired of that celebration.
Oh, yeah?
Messi did it. Everyone now
thinks see who's bringing up Messi now. I tried to
bring
it up.
Hey, I'm allowed because I'm not. Well, no. I like him. He's fine.
Yeah, he's cool.
I'm fine.
Yeah. I mean, he's okay.
Is he?
He's fine for you.
It's hard. It's very hard for me to show that man love.
Why?
Let's move on. Ronaldo and United, that connection.
He's talking to a therapist about it.
Yeah. So right now, Napoli are top with 24, Inter with 22, Juve and Lazio tied at 19th. Roma, unfortunately, we have a soft spot for Roma. They're sitting in 5th with 15 points. That's not good enough. I think the Mo Salah, my boy, effect is showing a bit.
Why was that necessary?
Oh, well, wait a minute. I was like, he's your boy? What?
Yeah, we're both Egyptian.
Not necessary.
When you remove him from Liverpool context, he becomes...
Yeah, he becomes my boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
he's selective. In my fantasy. That's how close
you
we
have
are.
To say team, otherwise it gets very confusing.
Oh, right. Yeah, true.
He was everyone's fantasy over the last weekend.
Yeah, that's every true. Egyptian has dreamt of Mo Salah in the past week. Let's move on to Spain.
Getafe somehow managed to lose to Real Madrid.
Yeah, that's true because, well, Ronaldo decided that, you know, this game's going to go to a draw when he missed from a yard out. And then he decided to, this is Ronaldo, then he decided to step up and score the winner, which is a brilliant finish in the bottom left corner.
Good. Who passed the ball? Whose ball was that?
Another Madrid player.
Was that Toni Kroos?
No.
I actually don't know. I'm not trying to decide. I actually don't remember who it was.
It's not Toni Kroos.
I actually want someone to tell me who it was.
I don't know.
Okay, fine. Whoever passed that... You can see the eye contact between them, and that's good football.
Fantasy going on.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So Madrid get Ronaldo's first La Liga goal in, like, whatever, 7 games or something, which was crazy.
But that's a man with stats, eh? He has, like, 6 in the season altogether or something.
Stats are stats, mate. First goal in La Liga.
Yeah.
Atleti drew to Barcelona 1-1. Barcelona always struggled against Atleti. Atleti played really well. First goal was brilliant. I think it was Saul. Yeah, great finish into the bottom right. Mm. And then Suarez finally scored. He's been in a horrendous dip of form.
He was injured to start the season, though.
He played a few games and he just looked bad. But you know, they ended up with a point away to Atleti. The new stadium looks fantastic.
The Wanda Metropolitana.
Yeah. Sounds like a pizza. Why is it? Okay, I'm sorry. Alex wrote this agenda, and it says Betis 3, Valencia 6.
That's because Andres Pereira scored a wonderful goal, and he's on loan from Manchester United.
That's genuinely not why it's on the agenda.
Alex, go with it.
All right, Alex, why is it on the agenda?
You read the scoreline, right?
I did 9 goals.
That's why it's on the agenda.
Okay. Oh, something I did not know until I saw it during this game, which is on TV for some reason, I was watching it live, is that Nani is on loan at
Lazio
from Valencia. I mean, I didn't see it, I heard it.
Why are we talking about
it? I'm just saying, did anyone know that?
I didn't
know. I knew that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. The last I heard of Nani is that he was at Valencia.
Yeah.
And I keep tabs on Nani.
Yeah, I mean,
apparently not well
enough. Yeah, exactly. But he's 30 now, man. Nani to me is always like young.
Bro, I don't know. After he won the Euros, I don't think he even cared about life anymore.
Right, right. So
he doesn't. He's willingly chosen to get racially abused at Lazio. Like, that's it.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's when you've stopped caring.
Yeah.
All right. On that note. Alex, you want to take this away?
Sure. Yeah. Let me thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank
Despite
you so much for having me.
The abuse your team has taken, will you come back again at some point?
I would love to.
Okay. Can he come back with Omar so that he can have like a tag team partner?
No, what we should do is we should have him back when Liverpool have a good result against the top team. So maybe next season?
Wow.
Have him back?
Klopp's record against top four is excellent.
Oh, yeah?
Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you next. I mean, they lost 4-1 to City and then drew to United at home.
So, how about we
beat Arsenal 4-0?
Not top team.
How about we bring him back when they're challenging for the league?
Okay.
I don't know.
25 years?
Do you have life insurance? Anyways, let's end it. I don't know why we do this. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
This wasn't part of.
Oh no, I think it was.
I'm gonna apologize to Omar now. I told him I'd be nice to this
guy. It would be impossible to imagine this is anything but deliberate.
You can see it's not on the agenda though.
It's inside, it's deep down.
You could just have a call about it beforehand. Like, just come prepared with your best Liverpool burns.
There you go.
We would have just lied to you.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you'll come back again. Boys, thank you.
Before we forget, where can people follow you online?
I'm on Twitter, Elamine88, that's ELAMIN88,
yep.
That's the number.
With an app before that.
The last year Liverpool won the league.
Oh.
No, you're thinking of 89 where Arsenal won the league at Anfield.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking
about. That's interesting how you turned that to be about that instead of about my Twitter handle.
I could do it 24/7. So that's Elamine88, correct?
Yes.
Anywhere else, or... Instagram? No?
I mean, it's the same as my Twitter if you want to go to Instagram as well.
Right.
But like, there don't. It's mostly pictures of my baby. Just stay away from my Instagram.
Right.
Go to my Twitter.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Is your baby Liverpool fan yet?
Absolutely. She has a Mane jersey, man.
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Mane is great.
If you got the Salah jersey, it would fit.
Yes, or the Coutinho, or the Moreno. There's a lot.
True. All right, let's leave it there. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh, and for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.